It's September, which means we're entering the fall season of movie going, traditionally the lull period between summer and holiday blockbuster openings. Of course, fall also traditionally has boasted its share of cinematic surprises. Hi, I'm Dan Webster, host of Movies 101. And on this week's show, Merritt Bat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I will discuss three movies that do, in one way or another, fall into that surprise category. I'm talking about the rom-com Crazy Rich Asians, the character study Puzzle, and the contemporary mystery Searching. So don't touch that dial, because another edition of Movies 101 is coming up next, right here on Spokane Public Radio.
When the news is good, it's good to hear. When the news is bad, it's essential to hear. You can depend on Spokane Public Radio to tell you what's going on, why it's happening, and to try to make sense of what it all means. People who are members of Spokane Public Radio, just like you, make this service possible. Thank you for doing your part.
Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga Law School.
And I'm Nathan Weinbinder, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that normally loves the smell of burning leaves, except that we in the great Northwest have inhaled enough smoke this summer for three lifetimes. Thank you very much. That's one reason we should be thankful to movie theaters. They provide a refuge from the bad air. Also, surprise, surprise, they show movies. And some of those movies are surprises in and of themselves, especially during this, the traditionally low-key fall season. Take Crazy Rich Asians, for example, which led the box office charts during its first full 3 weeks of release. Or Puzzle, which boasts a plot built around a woman finding herself through her skill at solving, of all things, jigsaw puzzles. Or even Searching, which is a contemporary blend of mystery and family dysfunction. Let's begin with A Father's Worst Fear. Searching, which was written and directed by first-time feature filmmaker Anish Chagante, is, for most of its 102-minute running time, a riveting modern-day horror story. A father, played by John Cho, still grieving the passing of his wife, is shocked to learn that his daughter is missing. Even worse, as he begins to search for her, he gradually finds out that, as he finally has to admit to himself, he didn't know his daughter at all. Chagante tells the story in a manner that screams conceit. In iPhone or computer screenshots, through Skype or iChat simulations, but one that mostly works, as long as you don't look all that closely. So we see Dad doing social media searches, tracking down his daughter's erstwhile friends and schoolmates, talking to the lead police investigator, played by Deborah Messing, where has she been, even showing up rather disastrously on YouTube at one point, as he grows ever more desperate to figure out where his daughter can be. All of this feels familiar, especially the online comments put forth by the ever-present online trolls, which only adds to the film's overall feel. And anchored by the dynamic Cho, a supporting player in films such as Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle and the Star Trek reboot, now in his first lead role, Searching is a suspenseful, intense entertainment that lets up only in its final few Law and Order SVU-inspired minutes.
I, for some reason, completely let this film slip off my radar. So I didn't know what to expect. I'm maybe the only person in the world who's in that particular situation. But I was pleasantly surprised by Searching for the most part. You talked about the conceit of the internet searching and so forth and so on. I think it's the sort of predictable plot points near the very end that I struggled with a little bit. But having said that, it's interesting to see how much exposition we can get through this mechanism of social media searches, because we do, over the course of this film, put together a complete picture of different players and different people who are involved in this particular search. I really liked John Cho, and I like Michelle Law, who played the daughter, and so it worked for me. Do I think that this is a great movie? No. Do I think that it allowed an opportunity for people to show some acting chops in a different way? So Searching, again, nice respite from the smoky skies if you want to get in and see a movie. But I wouldn't say, wow. And Dan, you asked, where has Deborah Messing been? Well, she's been on to television. That's where she's been.
Right. I want to deal with the plot of Searching straight away, because this is, despite its very contemporary conceit, is a pretty standard old-fashioned detective story.
Right.
It's The Lady Vanishes, right? Where
exactly.
did this girl go and why did she go missing? And as the plot unfolds, we start to think, well, okay, is this girl who we thought she was, who her father thought she was there something darker, more sinister going on? There's a lot of talk
about... And there's
about,
a little clues given to us all along.
Yeah, and of course, like any detective story, there are dead ends, there are red herrings, there are false leads, there are things that are misconstrued and later recontextualized once we figure out what was actually going on. And I have to say that as this plot unfolded and as it got more and more complicated, I actually became more disengaged with it, because I think that where the plot of Searching ends up is ludicrous. The answer to this mystery, if you think about it, doesn't make that much sense. And in order for all of the pieces to fall into place, because this is set in the real world, in order for all of the pieces of this plot to fit into place once we step back and see what went down, it requires too many things, too many coincidences.
And there are some leaps of logic
Absolutely.
That take place.
It would also require many different fields of law enforcement completely overlooking pieces of evidence that are right out in the open that are
so obvious.
And their
responsibility.
Yeah. And the movie does kind of deal with that a little bit. There is a discussion about the culpability of law enforcement, but it's almost like an excuse to explain away all of the plot holes. So just on the surface level, I wasn't that in love with Searching. But now let's talk about the conceit, because that's what has been selling this movie.
Right.
It is a high concept movie. And the idea of telling a story through computer screens isn't totally new. I mean, it was in that film Open Windows, which is through webcams. There's the Unfriended movies, which are these kind of
right.
supernatural slashers where you see people getting killed in Skype and that sort of thing. But I liked the way that this first-time director used the conceit to really explore anxieties, especially with the John Cho character. And they're anxieties that are both timeless, this idea that does the parent really know who their child was? And then they're the anxieties that are very much now, which is, are we complicit in our own surveillance? Is putting our life on social media a good thing, or is it deleterious in the long run? And I think that the way that he explores it is actually really clever and not hectoring or obvious or manipulative in the ways that you might expect. There's a lot of really canny ways that he uses virality in the 21st century in this movie. So the fact that the John Cho character becomes the subject of memes on the internet,
yes.
the fact that he's clicking through these Reddit threads where it's all these armchair detectives going through clues, which
many
that happens.
Whom, many of whom are blaming him.
Exactly. You know, because, you know, it's hashtag the dad did it.
Yeah.
And that happens every time there's a
high
major
profile
crime.
Yes.
Every time a true crime documentary comes out, if you go online, there's threads and threads of people talking about this. So I thought the way that Searching handled that was really smart and showed that the people making it really understood how the internet works. On the flip side of that, though, all of the TV news footage they showed, this might be nitpicking a little bit, but all the TV news clips they show are so fake that they pulled me out every time, because I thought, newscasters don't say, or is it too late? It's like, newscasters don't say stuff like that.
You haven't been watching Fox News lately.
No, I've never watched that, but
well,
that's not what they're showing on here. So,
and I think to get back to your question, so in this particular circumstance, we would have to concede that the internet does help the dad solved this crime in ways that would not have been possible otherwise without
Absolutely.
Such a labor-intensive task. You mentioned some red herrings and so forth. I actually was pleased at there's a subplot involving his brother, and I was sort of pleased the way that that resolved
yeah,
itself, because
right.
that would have been
It goes to some touchy
right.
territory at some
sure
point,
does.
Searching
yeah.
does.
Sure does. We've only just barely mentioned John Cho. He's one of those guys that in another time, in another place, in another part of history, would never have ever gotten this chance to make this movie. And yet, he was such a great part of the Star Trek reboot. And, you know, I mean,
He was Sulu in the Star Trek reboot.
Yeah, and he's terrific. The way he can wield a sword. And he was really good in the Harold and Kumar movies, you know. And so this guy shows talent. He never, ever would have gotten this chance if it weren't the way things are working out today with diverse voices coming out. And I'm so glad he did because he's really, really very good.
Yeah, and I think that so much of this movie, Searching, hinges on his performance because even though we're seeing everything through the computer, so we see, you know, text conversations and YouTube videos and vlogs and security camera footage at some points, even though we're seeing all of that, John Cho's face is often, you know,
right there
on the screen because he's making Skype calls or he's FaceTiming with people. And if we don't believe that he is the aggrieved father, then the entire premise really falls apart. Mm-hmm. And I think that he pulls it together. I thought his performance was really good. And I think it's going to get overlooked because it is at the center of a big high concept kind of thing.
Right.
Deborah Messing, on the other hand, for whatever reason, and I liked her in other stuff, and of course she's mostly known for comedy, I didn't really buy her in this performance.
Yeah, she didn't work for me either.
It seemed kind of wooden and stilted, but in a way that wasn't convincing.
That was like a little creepy. And I think that when
it is intentional, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for whatever reason, I would have felt more comfortable at the end of the film if maybe another actress had played that particular role. But, you know, she held her own. That's not the issue. It was just...
They give her some really wooden, stilted dialogue, too. I mean, so this is a first-time filmmaker making this Searching. And considering that, it's really impressive. I walked out of the theater a little bit disappointed, but the more I thought about it, which I honestly didn't think I'd think about this for a second after I walked out of the theater, but it gave me a lot to think about. Mm-hmm. The fact that this is a first-time filmmaker and he pulls off a real balancing act is impressive. There is some awkward, low-budget film stuff going on here. Some performances that might not be that great, some dialogue that might not be so believable, some moments that are supposed to really land with a punch and don't really. But I think what the film is trying to say is a lot more potent than the actual mystery at its center. And I have to say that we didn't even talk about the montage that opens the film in which we see a family completely come apart at the seams through videos on the computer, through calendars on the computer, through Facebook posts, through Google searches. And I thought that was a really great piece of filmmaking,
authentic to modern, the way we're living a contemporary life.
So I'm curious to see what this guy does next. But this is a better movie than I initially thought right after I saw it.
Yeah. And that was Searching. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at Puzzle and Crazy Rich Asians. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed Searching. Let's now move to first something small and then something familiar. The small something is Puzzle, a movie that stars Kelly MacDonald as a working-class woman who surprises not just herself, but her entire family when she discovers a talent for solving jigsaw puzzles. The familiar is Crazy Rich Asians, a makeover of that old-school movie genre, the romantic comedy. Let's begin with the small. And by small, I'm referring to various things. One involves how the film, Puzzle, is being distributed, limited to just 265 theaters across the country, including both AMC River Park Square and the Magic Lantern, where it's still playing. Another involves the cast and crew, from director Mark Turteltaub, who is known more as a producer than a director, to actors such as Kelly MacDonald and Irfan Khan, both of whom are more likely to be cast in independent productions than something Steven Spielberg might direct. Most important, though, is the story that the film tells, that of a mild-mannered suburban housewife and mother named Agnes, who, while discovering a talent for solving jigsaw puzzles, finds a path to self-discovery that she either had been afraid to follow or had simply been unaware of. Turteltaub unveils Agnes's story gradually, refusing to employ the standard highs and lows of Hollywood melodrama, and the cast, led by the Scottish native MacDonald and the Indian-born Khan, fits the pace exceedingly well. The film's open ending might have been tightened up a bit more, but that may be asking for too much from a project that attempts to reflect the trials and tribulations of actual life in a decidedly realistic manner.
This film had one of the most intriguing openings of any film that I've seen in the relative recent past. So puzzle begins with a birthday party. And so you see people going through the house and so forth and so on. And our Kelly MacDonald character is like cleaning up.
She's
and
hosting
taking
everything,
care of everyone,
yes.
And so forth. And it's only a few minutes in that we discover it's actually her birthday party.
And no one is doing anything for her. She's doing it all for herself.
Right. And so I think, or for them, for other people. And mm-hmm. So that is such a microcosm of her life that I thought that was a brilliant opening. Dan, as you point out, puzzle has a very slow reveal. It does have to do with making jigsaw puzzles in a competitive environment. And so I was fascinated by that aspect of it because I think we did a family puzzle over Easter, and I think I found two pieces over the course of 4 days. So I was admiring of that. I thought the performances were excellent, but it is a small film in the best sense of that word. But it does draw you in. It was based on an Argentinian film.
Called Rompecabezas by Natalia Smirnoff, actually.
Broken Heads is a great name for jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah. I think that ultimately this is not a movie that a lot of people are going to embrace unless you sit there and take your time with it and just immerse yourself in it, because there's no easy answers. There's no right and wrongs. There's people who act like the husband.
In terms of good and bad, you have mixed feelings at various points.
He can be condescending. He can be overprotective. But at the same time, he obviously cares for his wife in a certain way. So, and the end is so open, we're just not sure what is going to happen next. For me, that works fine upon reflection. I just don't know that everyone's going to
like
it.
And I like the dynamic between her and her boys,
because
it's very different.
Well, Kelly MacDonald, Irfan Khan, I'll watch them read the phone book. They're both terrific. And that was Puzzle. Let's close with what is a new take on an age-old genre. Judged by nothing else but its title, Crazy Rich Asians would seem to be just what that title implies, a straight-up comic farce about, Crazy Rich Asians. But even though the title is taken directly from its source material, Kevin Kwan's more or less Romana Clay, the first in a trilogy that captures the kind of life lived by Singapore's rich and famous, it's hardly a slap-happy comedy. In fact, one description I read feels fairly accurate. It's Pride and Prejudice meets Gossip Girl. In other words, it's the kind of film that some seven decades ago would have starred the likes of Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn clinking martini glasses and trading clever quips. Constance Wu plays Rachel, an NYU economics professor being wooed by her boyfriend, Nick, played by a hunk named Henry Golding. He invites her to accompany him on a trip home to attend his best friend's wedding. Oh, and in the process, she'll get to meet his family, his ultra-rich family, a fact that surprises Rachel no end, as does the fact that some of his family, but especially Nick's mother, played by international star Michelle Yao, don't approve of her. All through the film, which plays out like a love letter to Singapore itself, the familiar rom-com storyline is on display. Will love win out over familial expectations and pressures? Well, what do you think? Director John M. Chu keeps things moving at a quick pace, never getting into larger questions of class and caste. Seriously, a university professor is hardly a scullery maid. And he benefits from his cast, particularly Wu, Golding, and Yao, but also the two comic relief players, Ken Jeong from the Hangover trilogy and the New York-born rapper Awkwafina. Romantic comedies may not be to everyone's tastes, but they don't come more entertaining or more traditional than Crazy Rich Asians.
Well, yeah, this is a throwback to movies that they made all the time in the 40s and 50s, particularly. And back then, they would have been referred to quite quite reductively, I might add, as a women's picture. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what John M. Chu, the director, is channeling here. And he's known for some of the Step Up movies. He's made a couple of concert films for people like Justin Bieber. So, of course, this film has lots of visual style. It's got amazing costumes, these breathtaking sets. There's a wedding scene here that is like a Cirque du Soleil performance.
Yes.
The food in the movie is amazing. So it has all of those surface pleasures. And it's also indulging in all of the rom-com conventions you expect. There's even the last-minute dash to the airport and the proclamation of love in the aisles of the airplane that's
right.
sitting
Coach.
On the tarmac. Yes,
yeah,
of
yeah.
Coach. And everyone's saying, you know, get out of my way. And he says, I'm trying to profess my love here. So you've got all of that stuff going on. But the difference between something like Crazy Rich Asians and really any rom-com we've seen before is, I mean, right in the title, it's an American film with an all-Asian cast. And I found that really refreshing. And this movie, I mean, it is dealing with class, of course, and lots of romantic comedies have dealt with that. But the way that this movie deals with Chinese culture, because class is a very important thing in Chinese culture, the way that it deals with that and what it has to say about Chinese culture and how it dissects the traditionalism of it, because this woman who, as you said, she's no scullery maid, but she is in the eyes of the Michelle
and
Yao
she's
mother
Asian
character.
American.
Exactly. She's an immigrant and they look at her much differently and she will never be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to get over that. And I mean, how could you? I think the way that it examines that sort of thing is actually really moving in the end and kind of radical in a way that I didn't see coming. I mean, I think that what this movie actually says in the end is a lot deeper and more meaningful than I thought a movie called Crazy Rich Asians would be. So it's a really fun kind of romp. There's like a makeover montage and a shopping
mm-hmm,
montage
mm-hmm,
and all that stuff.
Course.
So you have to have all those things. But I think it goes a lot deeper than that. And so, yeah, I was surprised how much I liked this.
Well, and there's ultimately a sweetness about this. I mean,
absolutely.
In the relationships among the different people. The surprise to me was Awkwafina,
mm-hmm.
because I thought, is she going to be able to carry this off?
And she was in Ocean's 8. She was
right,
one of the
right.
but, thieves.
But so you're right. So I think that we had some preview of her talents in that regard. I was concerned initially, is this going to be some weird voyeuristic thing that we're going to be watching these people as though they're in a fishbowl? And it doesn't play out that way in any respect. So Crazy Rich Asians, it does benefit from its setting. There were probably some inside references that I might not have perceived completely, but it works and it works really well. And it's visually stunning from the appearance of the individuals to the sort of wealth that's on display. And Singapore itself,
no.
Dan, as you point out, is certainly showcased in a way that we don't often see.
No.
Singapore usually shows up
in like crime movies or
right,
something.
Right, in these thriller kind of movies, mm-hmm. and we get a 3-second mm-hmm. glimpse
right.
of a couple of buildings. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, so we're immersed in what's going
yeah.
on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and this production is steeped in irony. It's interesting that this film is being embraced so much by American film going public because Americans are the outsiders here.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans are the ones who we've always looked down on other people, immigrants and so forth, and we're all of a sudden the immigrants. They don't make a big deal of that, but it's right there at the heart of this film. And I was totally taken aback and totally shocked by Crazy Rich Asians, how much I liked the film and how much it is not this weird, strange comedy. It's an old-fashioned love story.
And honestly, it's refreshing. You know, there have been all these think pieces written about the return of the romantic comedy, and that is true to a degree. It was just really refreshing to see a film that was just earnest in the face of its conventions.
Well, and I think
yes.
it's playing,
it knew that it had enough energy to carry it out.
Keep in mind that it's playing out against the backdrop of the Meghan Markle Prince Harry wedding as
mm-hmm.
well. And so I think that people were primed to look at something such as this in contrast to other things that are happening, serious things that are
sure.
happening and so
mm-hmm.
forth. And I think that got some people, including myself, ready to embrace what's happening in this particular
yeah.
film.
And this guy, Henry Golding, is a real find. I won't be surprised if he doesn't become a major star.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not for a long time, but any rate, that was Crazy Rich Asians. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And early in the show, Nathan Weinbender, Mary Pat Truthart, and I discuss Searching and Puzzle. Let's take this moment to thank Jim Tevenet for both producing and engineering the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. And we invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again try to separate cinema wheat from cinema chaff. Until then, remember these words from the Hollywood legend Mae West. Those who are easily shocked should be shocked more often. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.